Let's take our, I was going to say take our psalm books. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. And let's stand together this evening as we read the verses here. Of course, enjoy singing. Let me see this real quick. I enjoy singing. I can't sing very well. Seriously, you had to go there? Okay, thank you. you is that why you sat over there? Good for you. I can't sing very well, but I love good music. Joseph sits next to me. He probably doesn't even know what good music now is anymore, but I enjoy it. And that was great to get all the singing songs. I don't know about you, but at this time of year, I always put on KNVBC. I mean, they play Christmas music 24 hours. It's on my computer, so when I'm working during the day, I have it on. It's on my phone. If I'm driving the car, I can play the music through my phone. I just kind of like it. And then on December 26th, we take a hiatus from that, okay? But I love the time of the year. I love the music. And I hope that you enjoy our psalm books, okay? Thank you so much for your giving. Now, let me give you a couple admonition with the psalm books. And I know we'll do this. Let's make sure we take care of them, okay? The other psalm books, and you say, oh, the psalm books were beat up. I know. We had those things for about, we moved into this building in 2003. So about 13 years we've had those books. So they were good soldiers, and some of them will be, you know, they went to meet the Lord. The other ones we'll use for something. But just take care of these psalm books, and children sometimes have a tendency to want to write in things or bend the pages. So just let's make sure we take care of them. But we're excited about that. And then I would also say camp is a great opportunity. So I hope all of our teenagers go. I have a couple pastors coming in to preach, Brother Thompson and Brother Cook, who's out of Brother Goddard's church, and Brother Two's going to be there too. Tutu, thank you. Okay, Brother Keo's going to be with us, so that's going to be great too. And some of our staff up there. I encourage you to go if at all possible. And if for some reason you can't, you know, you're having some financial troubles, really see this guy right here. He'll work with you and help you get there. I hope that, you know, I know our kids had to pay to go to they're going to a tournament basketball. I hope that that didn't keep you from going. If for some reason that was part of the reason, see Brother Ross and let him work it out to be able for you to get there, because you'll have a great blessing. We've always sent all of our children and our teenagers up to that. We're down to the point now where there's only one that we pay for. If the adult ones want to go, they pay for themselves. They have jobs. That works out nicely. Daniel chapter 5. I won't be long. I know we're getting a little bit later here, and everybody's got visions of sugar plums dancing through your head. I get that. We've been in a series in Daniel, so let's read verses 10 through 17. We'll pray, and I'll let you be seated. Okay, Daniel chapter 5, verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." I love this phrase. There is a man in thy kingdom. I love that phrase. In whom the spirit is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of jewelry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they could, and that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Then Danchu answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this evening. Great crowd on a Sunday night, holiday weekend. And I pray you'd bless our brief time together. Help us, Lord, to see something that would help us to live in the days in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are still in our series. We've been calling it on Daniel, Living Right When All Is Wrong. Daniel lived in very treacherous times for him, very difficult times, worse than the times in which we live, and yet he lived successfully, and he lived correctly, and he lived without compromise, and he lived by convictions. We live in a society that's pretty messed up. We can't think straight anymore. Our leaders have zero answers, and the answers they give are nothing more than nonsense. Look, one of the biggest battles our country is facing right now is terrorism. Yet our attorney general, the day after the San Bernardino slaughter, said, here's what her takeaway from that was. We're going to go after anybody that says anything bad about Muslims. Wow, that's brilliant. What are we thinking here? We can't. I think, by the way, and getting ahead of myself, well, no, it's just, I'll throw it out. I think we're living judgment times. That's a sign of judgment of a society when you can't see common sense. Now, let me say this. Being God's people, we can live with common sense. We see it. But the world around us isn't. So I'm not a doomsday kind of guy. I'll be honest, if you ask, oh, what about the future of America? It ain't good. So just going to throw it out there, pocket it, do whatever you want with it. But it can be good for those that know the Lord. And so our goal on this earth is, hey, let's live for God, let's enjoy his blessings, and let's share it with other people. Because with Christ, all is good. And I feel sorry for those that don't know the Lord. As we have seen, Daniel and his friends had to deal with some things. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we looked at the first part of chapter 5, we looked at Belshazzar. Belshazzar was a co-leader of this time of the kingdom. His father Nabonidus was the leader, but he was out in some conquest and in some wars. And so what he did is he had Belshazzar. He gave him a portion of the kingdom to oversee, which included Babylon. That's why when he offers Daniel here to be third in the kingdom, that's because he could not offer him to be second in the kingdom, because he and his father already held those two spots. And what happened is, we learned last week about the party they had. There was handwriting on the wall. We saw the party that Belshazzar has, which was really, was really very defiant to the God of heaven. It was very blasphemous. It was not good. It was very sensual, and there was a bunch of garbage going on with that, and they had a party. During this party, Belshazzar and the people there, they see the fingers on a hand right on the main wall where there was some light, and they wrote some words on there. He could not figure out what those words were, and he was disturbed. So he did what we've seen in every single story here. They go send for the wise men, the astrologers, and all their wise men. Those guys come, they look at it, and they're like, they got no answers. And so just like every other time, they have to get Daniel. That's where we pick up the story here. Belshazzar is very, very concerned. He sobered up at that party quickly. It was not a good party. It was a bad party. And he sees those fingers, hands, and he sobers up right away. And he needs to see what's going on. Now we pick up the story. What happens in the verses we read, the queen comes in after the writing, and the wise men of Babylon can't figure it out. So the queen comes in. Now, probably, in all probability, this is not Belshazzar's wife. As we read early in the story, when they're having the party, his concubines, and those I think he was married to, were already in the party, which again was another sign that was a very sensual party. They're not usually bring the women into that type of party, especially when a king is throwing that type of party. But so I think they bring in the queen, probably maybe Nebuchadnezzar's wife, one of the older ones that would know who Daniel is, and she lets him know that there is a man in the kingdom. I like that phrase, and that's the phrase we're going to hold on to tonight. There's a man in the kingdom. And he can help, and he can give and decipher this for you. And she says a bunch of nice things about Daniel. But the phrase that I like, she says, there is a man in thy kingdom. What we need, and what our society needs, and what our world, those that do not know Jesus Christ, need is they need some real men and some real women that know God and have answers. See, it's nice to believe all this little gobbledygook nonsense, but when push comes to shove and the real problems of life hit, that stuff doesn't help at all. People are looking for answers. They need us to have it. As the queen looked, she said, listen, there's a man in the kingdom, and it wasn't any of the people that were out in there partying with him. It wasn't any of the wise men. It wasn't any of his other governmental leaders. They were all there. All the big shots were there. Not one of them. You know who it was? It was Daniel. Daniel, who was getting older. Daniel, who's not far from the end of his life. The old man who had stood for God in a godless country since he was a young man. That's the guy they send for. That's the guy. That's what our society needs. We don't need a bunch of people who especially claim to be Christians and want to live like those that are at the party. Okay? We need people that weren't at the party. We need people that really know God. And all they had to do is a little history lesson, and she gave a little history lesson. Here's a guy that knows God. By the way, don't be fooled by people that tell you they know God, but they don't know God. Be very careful who you allow to influence you spiritually. Especially you young men, you like to look at these cool cat pastors, and these are the guys that are going to lead you. They don't know God. I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm sure there's some that are honest and sincere guys, and maybe we're a little bit different on some things, but the majority of these cool cat type guys that want to have churches that are just like what's going out in the world, they don't know God. I mentioned a guy this morning, Rob Bell. He has a church, Mars Hills. It was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Huge church. This guy left his church and wrote a book saying, hey, there's probably no, hell's not a big deal. Everybody's going to make it to heaven. And then he says that the virgin birth isn't very important. By the way, it's Christmas time. The virgin birth is very important, because if Jesus Christ was born like a regular person, he wouldn't have been God in the flesh. He wouldn't have been a sin. He would have been a sinner, and he would not have died for our sin. That's a big deal. By the way, that guy left his church, and now he's as liberal as a day is long, doesn't really believe in the judgment of God or really the truth of God. He got another pastor, and that guy just quit this week. You know why he quit? This boggles my mind. A pastor, Brother Ross, he quit because he was uncomfortable with people talking about God. He said, there's a little bit too much God talk going on, and that makes me uncomfortable. Brother, now if you're a garbage man, I'm okay with that. We'll tell you about God. A pastor? By the way, I look at this stuff when I hear it. He has his own study Bible where he put his notes to the Bible in there, and he's not sure who God is. The point is, we live in very confusing times. And we need some men and women that say, you know what? I'm not smarter than anybody else. I'm not better looking than anybody else. And looking in this crowd, that's pretty true. You know, I'm not saying this, but you know what? If I have a Bible and in my Bible, I know God. Anybody can know God. And they went back to Daniel. You know why they went back to Daniel? Because Daniel knows God. There is a man in the kingdom. You know what our community needs in Long Beach? You know what we need? We need sincere, honest, genuine, not perfect, but genuine, going the right direction, godly Christians that know God. I got an email this week. I hope that's someone's cell phone. If not, we have a cricket on steroids in here. Okay? What was that all about? That cricket sounded like you need to shoot him with a gun. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, thanks. I got an email. Thanks. I got an email, and it was just from some person. They said my car broke down, and somebody called for help from somebody, some business, and a person came and helped them, and they said, the person said that they go to Pacific Baptist Church. The person was talking to them, letting them know about our church, and they said, I was so impressed with your church because of that person. Can I just tell you something? That's what we're looking for. What are we looking for? Were they just someone that's kind and truthful and stands for right and wants to be different, that makes a difference in this world? We need that. I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, I want you to notice Daniel's testimony. And by the way, the things that are being said about Daniel aren't being said by Daniel. You know, everybody can talk about how good they are themselves, right? Oh, you know, look, I can do this, I can do this, and I can do this. Usually when someone says they can do this, this, and this, they can't. Okay. Well, you know, let someone else praise you. And have that kind of testimony. That's the kind of testimony Daniel had. There were several things about his testimony I want you to notice. First of all, he stood out. We just mentioned that. The queen comes in and there's a mess going on. And really, Belshazzar was seriously shaken by this whole event. It was obvious. We looked at that last time. And the queen comes in and says, there's a man in your kingdom. Now, how did she know that? Because Daniel stood out. Let me say this. If you live for God and you do right, you will stand out. Now, I'm not saying we're looking to stand out. The world doesn't need that type of nonsense. There's a guy who used to come every now and then. He hasn't been here in years, and he's probably out in the balcony right out in this thing right now. He hasn't been here for years. But he was a truck driver. Every now and then he'd show up, and he'd have a shirt that, you know, it says turn or burn, you know, a try or fry or something, you know. And it had pictures of flames and hell. I'm like, can I tell you something? That's not what we need. You'll stand out, but you're standing out for the wrong reason, okay? And I'm not going to stand out with you on that reason. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I'll talk to you about the Lord. I'm going to tell you hell's real, okay? But I'm not going to have a picture with flames on it and say, you know what? That's you, cowboy. Fish fry your soul. Come on. But if we live right and do right and have the characteristics and the character that Daniel had, we'll stand out for all the right reasons. And I think you should. And even if you say, well, I don't want to. That's not my kind of personality. I'll be honest with you. It's probably hard for you to believe that. That's my personality too. If I'm somewhere with a crowd and I don't know, I just want to be left. I just want to be in the background. You know what I'm saying? We go on vacation and we slip into other churches, and sometimes they know us because we've been up and down the coast when we go on our vacation. And it's like, hey, we got some visiting. Hey, tell your whole family. I did that one of the services. I forgot the names of two of the grandkids. I'm like, so I just skipped over them. You know, like when you get in that mode, you're getting older and you forget names, you know? It's like, oh, so. And then the kids, hey, you forgot so-and-so. I said, I know. I said, oh, okay. I drew a blank. That's why. You know, my daughter, that's Sally. No, that's not, that's Lauren. But I don't want to be called out. Just let me sit there and enjoy the service. I don't want to stand out. You know, but listen, if you work hard where you work, if you're just in your family, by the way, you say, but when I stand out and I do things, they make fun of me and they get on me and they criticize you. But I guarantee you when they need answers, I guarantee you when they need help, you know who they're going to talk about? You. See, the reason sometimes they'll say things and nitpick is because it bothers their conscience. So you see, if you see someone that's doing better than you, sometimes people don't want to handle that. If they can drag you down to their level, they're going to feel comfortable. Be okay with it. By the way, don't fight. Just, you know, hey, okay. But we need people that stand out. By the way, if you know God, you're going to stand out in a good way. And standing out will give you an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. And Daniel had to wait his time, and that's a point coming up in a minute. But you know what? His time came. He stood out. Let's be willing to stand out for the right reasons. I want you to notice one of the reasons why he stood out, and then the next testimony he had a spiritual life. The queen says, in the days of his father, in verse 11, light and understanding and wisdom, and the wisdom of the gods was found in him. Partly he stood out because he had answers that the others didn't. And they understood that there's something different. This guy actually knows God. He has a spiritual life. Now, just a little prelude to next time we meet in chapter 6, that's going to come back at him. But that's okay. He was doing the right thing. But they knew that, you see, now they were confused as to who God is, all right? You know, they said, in him was the spirit of the gods. There isn't more than one God. There's one. But they understood something spiritual was going on there. Sometimes people meet you and it's like, oh, hey, are you the priest over there? Are you the reverend? I'm not a priest, okay? I'm not a reverend. That word is for God. But, you know, they don't know who you are. I've been called father. And they're not, I said, you're not my child. Father, what do you want me to do, buy you a Christmas present? That ain't happening. You know, look, they don't understand the lingo. They don't understand the jargon, but they understand something. You obviously represent God. Now, they may not know who the God is, but that's okay. They know you have some type of testimony where you are standing out for God. And I admonish us as a church. Let's stand out for God. this year, 2016, let's stand out for God in the right way. I think at your work, they ought to know you're a Christian. Now, some of you, it might be something you're going to have to step over your bad testimony. Okay? But that's okay. Let them know you know God. I'm a Christian. Oh, you know, I'm not saying be condemning, but say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm saved. You don't have to use the word saved. That'll scare you. You know, sometimes we use Christian terminology with people that don't know it. Hey, you know, I'm sanctified and set apart and washed in the blood of Christ. They're like, what? What are you drinking, man? Just, I'm a Christian. That's it. Let them know you're a Christian, not just by your words, but by your lifestyle. I mentioned this story many times in my Sunday school class, but when I was working in the warehouse, there were several of us that were Christians, and we let people know they're Christians. And there was one guy there that just really did not like us. He was just one of these guys that, you know, some people that just, it's almost like they want to have a bad attitude. You know what I'm talking about? And this was him. If they had that in the dictionary, bad attitude, his picture would have been there. And he did not like us. And there was one day he was particularly in a foul mood. He was really in a foul mood. Like, man, did he have a fight with his wife? What's going on? And he was just getting, you know, and he was being, it was bad. And then one of the Christian guys found out and said, you know, I know what's wrong with him. His son is having heart surgery in a couple days. He just found out. And he's struggling with it. Now, one of our Christian guys he found out and went up to him and said, you know, I know you kind of don't like us, and I know you're going through something. Would you mind if maybe after work, why don't you just come with us, and we won't do anything weird, but we'll pray for your son. He said, I'd like that. And so we prayed for him. By the way, we took up an offering. We all pitched in some money to buy his son a nice gift for when he got out of the hospital. But you know what was bothering him? Something he couldn't fix. And when his son had that problem, now he was a little more open to talking to us. Now he's a little more open to being with us. I'm glad we stood out. I'm glad, although he did not like us for a while, that he knew there were some Christians there. Have a spiritual life. How close are you to God? Have you had a good year? I want you to notice next, he had strong consistency. Verse 11, whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was several leaders ago. This lifestyle that Daniel had, this man in the kingdom, that wasn't just something that came lately. It started when he was a youth, probably late teens. And at this time, he's at least at this story, maybe the 70s. When we get into the lion's den, he's probably in his 80s. Didn't matter who the leader was. It started in chapter 1 with one of the underlings, I think Ashpenaz or something like that. And then he got to Nebuchadnezzar, and he was faithful through Nebuchadnezzar. And then the other, he's still in the kingdom, and he's still doing everything he's supposed to be doing. You know what Christianity needs? It needs Christians who have a consistent testimony. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm being nice about it, but I want us to get this. Some of us as Christians, our life is a little bit too up and down. That's good on a roller coaster. That's a thrill. I mean, let's go up, let's go down, let's go left, let's go right, let's go sideways, let's go loopy to loopity. That's great. Your Christian life shouldn't be a roller coaster ride. God wants us just to be consistent. It's not how high you jump, it's not how low you get. How straight can you go? Consistency. By the way, all of us can be consistent. You know? I'm not trying to be mean here, and I'm not, so take it in the spirit which is given. But, you know, if we have a ministry or something we're doing, our church attendance, we ought to be consistent. Well, you know, I'm at church every Sunday. I'm at the church every Sunday for a month, and then where are we for 2 weeks? Now, this is a Sunday night crowd, and you're a little bit higher, but sometimes Sunday night, sometimes not, maybe not Thursday. There needs to be consistent. I work in the nursery. If it's your time to be in the nursery, be in the nursery. Let me throw this in, and I love you to pieces. Be on time. Okay, so I am. Church started at 9:30. I was there at 9:31. If it's your turn in the nursery, you need to be there 15 or 20 minutes early. That was free. I'm throwing that in. Enjoy that. Let's fulfill our responsibilities. Not one time doing it and the next time not. And I know some you get sick and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about sometimes we get this spirit of apathy. And by the way, we all have to fight it. When you do something for a long time, you have to fight a spirit of apathy. But how long have you been a bus captain? 9 years. You know what Brother Robert can say? Been there, done that. Okay, there's probably not much that hasn't happened on a bus route you haven't seen or witnessed. And it's easy when you do something long-term, say, I've been there, I've done all that. I get it, but you know what? It's still a fresh opportunity each and every week. And it's easy for us just to, consistency. I'm glad she knew that, you know, this is Daniel, and he used to do some things for Nebuchadnezzar. You need to get him in here. I'm glad she had the solid assurance that if she brought Daniel in, he's going to be the same Daniel that he was back when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge. Consistency. Let's be consistent. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I want you to notice also, he had a spirit of excellence. Verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit, that's mentioned about him many, many times. Excellent spirit. In other words, everything he did was done excellently because he had that type of spirit. What does that mean? Daniel gave it his best. You know, one of the reasons I started serving God, I've given my testimony on many, many occasions, but, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I was a teenager, and I wasn't living for God. I got saved, and for those first 2 years I was saved, I really didn't serve God, and I was getting in a lot of trouble. I could say I got kicked out of high school, but I knew that was coming, so I dropped out. I didn't want to get kicked out. It's one of those things. You can't fire me. I quit, okay? So I did that. And then, hey, I went to night school, Brother Ross. I dropped out of night school, too, man. I was really consistent. And I did get my GED. But I'll tell you, I started going to church when I was 17. My brother was saved and serving God, and so he was living in Modesto. He came down he was working down here, and so I went to church with him on a Sunday morning. I thought, you know, I'm going to start going on Sunday mornings. And I went for 1 month. After that month, God was dealing with me. I said, you know, I need to either jump in or jump out. I can't. This is something you can't do. It didn't take long for me to realize it's not something you can do halfway. If I'm going to be a Christian, I got to get after it. I got to do it. I just jumped in. See, that's the kind of spirit we all have to have. Now, it's a growth process. You're not going to just jump in the next day. It's like, you know, ta-da, super Christian. First of all, there are no super Christians. But if they were, you wouldn't be a super Christian after one night. It's a process. The problem is sometimes we just don't take it as seriously as we should. Daniel took it seriously. It's like a guy when I was in Bible college. There was a guy that worked in our bus division. He's working with us, I'm not trying to be negative here, but it's like this guy just wasn't a very good worker. You know, you'd help ask him, hey, you want to help sweep the bus this week? No. You want to do that? No. Like, I'll do it. That's fine if you don't want to do it. He just didn't want to do anything. He was one of these guys, because you were in the college, you had to do a certain ministry. He was putting his time in. And I thought, the guy's just lazy. The guy didn't know how to work. I didn't tell him that. I'm just being nice. And then I switched jobs, and I got a job loading trucks at Overnight Transportation. And he worked there. And I watched him. I'm like, this guy is not lazy. This guy can work. The bosses loved him. He was a tremendous worker. But you know what the issue was? He didn't transfer that ethic to what he was doing for God. He left it at Overnight. I'm thinking, man, if that's how you are, why leave it at Overnight? Let's do that all the time. If we're doing something for God, let's do it with a little bit of excellence. Okay, everything we do everything to the best of your ability. We also see that Daniel had shown insight. Look at verse 12 again. It says he was excellent spirit and all that, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting a dream, showing of hard sentence, dissolving of doubts. They knew that when a situation came, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar's dream, handwriting on the wall, you name it, Nebuchadnezzar's other dream, Daniel knew the counsel to give. He understood the situation. And he was able to give insight. Isn't that good? Because if we're Christians and we know the Bible, can I just tell you something? We'll have insight on the things of life that those that do not know God don't have. We'll know things about marriages that those that don't know God don't know. Why? Because we have the God of the universe sharing that with us. Well, I'm not a professional counselor. You don't have to be a professional counselor to find out what God says about it. We'll know things. We'll have, the Bible calls that wisdom. The ability to take the truth of God's word and just make it a part of our life. By the way, people notice that. Say, hey, you know, you guys have been married for what? We've been married 30 years now. Yeah, how long have you been married? 30? Me too. Good. We've been married 30 years now. You know what? You say, is your marriage perfect? Yep. No. But you know what? We're happy. By the way, I know they look, 30 years is like, what's wrong with you? You know? By the way, you saw it. Yeah, we're happy and I still love my wife. What's that all about? Isn't that how it should be? If you don't live by God's principles, it's tough not to have that, isn't it? How many children you have? It's like, what? Didn't you guys know how to stop that thing? Do you understand? You don't have that many children in our society nowadays. I guess we didn't get the memo. Okay? You know? And we still have a good relationship with our children. Working on the son-in-law thing. But we have, with the rest of them, we're doing pretty good. Best thing that ever happened for Ryan is he gave me a grandson. Other than that, he's done. No grandchildren. No friendship. Just kidding. We're okay. And anything that's even a smidge good in my life or your life, it's got to be because of God. It's got to be because of God. They may criticize you, may look at you, but they see how things are going in your life, and it's like, it's like, how's that happening? It's not because I'm watching Dr. Phil. It's not because I'm reading Dr. Laura's books, and it's definitely because I'm not listening to Oprah, okay, or any of these other garbage shows that are on. No, it's because, you know what, the Word of God. Just a little bit you hear and you try to practice in your life, it's going to make you have what others that don't know God may not have. That's attractive. And then the last thing is this, he had patience. Get patience. Do you know at this time Belshazzar was in charge? I don't think he had been in charge for long, but he kind of put Daniel on the shelf. I can see why when you look at the party he had. But you know what? Daniel probably at this time was more of a figurehead. That's the old guy that's served in the years past, and we don't really need him now. I got my young guys. Daniel he was still there. Ready for whenever God needed him. Didn't try to force the issue. He had patience. He had been set aside. But you know what? He knew that when God needed him, the opportunity would arise. And by the way, when the opportunity did arise, because he was the kind of guy we've been describing, he was able to help. Let's be patient. You know, our opportunities are out there. Every day, you work with people that don't know the Lord. Every day you come in contact with people. And you know, if we'll just be a light in this world like Jesus tells us to be, the opportunities are going to be there. Now, by the way, we need to take those opportunities. Far too often we don't. What am I saying tonight? I've said a lot of things. But the point is this. The world, whether they'll admit it or not, is looking for somebody that knows God and has some answers. The greatest blessing you can have is being able to help somebody. Being a blessing and encouragement to somebody. Not that we're big shots, not that we're proud, and I don't mean that in a proud way. There's a man in the kingdom. I hope that in our community, those of us that go to this church and we're members of this church and we know the Lord, I hope that's what our community would think of us. I hope they would think, you know, and I know, oh, you guys are goofy and you have this and that, and the world is always telling us, you know, your standards are a little too high. That's kind of what's. Well, because the world wants the product, but they don't understand the process. You don't get the product without the process, okay? If you want good cookies or whatever it is, you better follow the recipe. You leave something out, it's not going to work. Let them see in our church people that follow the process and be available to be a blessing. What does our society need? It needs men of women who know God. I hope you know God. I almost want to tell you what the theme is, but you have to come back next week. I'm sorry. But if you follow the theme next year, you're going to know God. You're going to know God. And you're going to be able to help others. And you'll experience the blessings that come with it. Let's all stand this evening.